Launch good.
Good launch.
Good what?
No, launch food.
Hey, I know it's Ramadan, but we are launch good.
Ooh, launch good.
My mosque fundraiser was on it.
Yeah, my friend shared the Gaza school campaign.
That's us.
Oh, I think they're the ones where you can automate your daily giving in Ramadan.
More than 500,000 people have given and raised over $100 million on LaunchGood.
Join our 30-day Ramadan challenge and support a different cause every day on launchgood.com/Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Hafiz, how are you?
How are you, Ustaz?
Alhamdulillah, doing well. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome everybody to our recitation and reflection session for tonight on behalf of Qalam Institute. Tonight, inshallah, for those of you who have been following along or those of you who have not, we will, inshallah, be reciting Juz number 5 from the Quran, which is the portion of Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4 of the Quran, inshallah. We are blessed to have with us today Hafiz Ahmed Rahmani, who is one of our advanced students at the Qalam Seminary, alhamdulillah. And inshallah, I'll be hosting and facilitating the reflection piece as well. Inshallah, as you guys know, these sessions are brought to everybody in part by Helping Hand for Relief and Development. They do a lot of amazing work. And as all the scholars have mentioned so far, there is such a need in the world for relief organizations, but especially given the situation of coronavirus and the pandemic as a result of the COVID-19 disease, things have become increasingly difficult. So please head on over to Helping Hands for Relief and Development, hhrd.org/Ramadan, and please help out and give whatever you can, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, inshallah. We'll be starting tonight at, I believe it's ayah number 24.
Yes.
Inshallah. And so, bismillah. Okay, we're good to go, alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this passage, in this portion of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, page, the ayat number 24 through 26, he introduces the page with a lengthier ayah that actually details some of the nuances of marital relationships and the structures of marital relationships. He goes into great detail discussing, the permissibility of certain relationships and the requirements of those relationships. And then he tells us why these laws exist in the first place. So he's mentioning a lot of legality. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he transfers over and tells us why these laws exist. The first reason is to make things clear for us in life. So this is a big, big moment, because for us, a lot of times, legality and legal code, it's seen as more of a hindrance than it is a benefit. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is just to make things clear for you. Secondly, he says, to guide us to those things which are the best practices, things that are the best way to live life, universally agreed upon. And the third is so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can in fact turn to us in repentance. He finishes this page by reminding us that his knowledge and wisdom are ultimate and complete, and that we need to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge and wisdom in order to build that relationship with him that we want. Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والمحصنات من النساء إلا ما ملكت أيمانكم كتاب الله عليكم وأحل لكم ما وراء ذلكم أن تبتغوا بأموالكم محصنين غير مسافحين فما استمتعتم به منهن فآتوهن أجورهن فريضة ولا جناح عليكم فيما تراضيتم به من بعد الفريضة إن الله كان عليما حكيما ومن لم يستطع منكم طولا أن ينكح المحصنات المؤمنات فمما ملكت أيمانكم من فتياتكم المؤمنات والله أعلم بإيمانكم بعضكم من بعض فانكحوهن بإذن أهلهن وآتوهن أجورهن بالمعروف محصنات غير مسافحات ولا متخذات أخدان فإذا أحصن فإن أتين بفاحشة فعليهن نصف ما على المحصنات من العذاب ذلك لمن خشي العنة منكم وأن تصبروا خير لكم والله غفور رحيم يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَنْ تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the next page by transitioning the conversation over from legal to a more spiritual conversation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Hafidh Ahmed, he began the recitation of that when he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us to lighten our load. And this is an interesting concept because for many people, whether it's within the Muslim community or even outside of that, God is always seen as a being that is waiting to punish, that is waiting to drop the hammer, so to speak. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says things like Allah ta'ala wants nothing more than to make our life easier for us and lighter for us, and then he says, because the reality is that we do have weakness within us, we need that assistance, it completely reframes our understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it switches from law to spirituality, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he is not an unwilling party to accepting repentance. It's not like we have to convince Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We just have to ask him. There's no begging and convincing an unwilling party. We are asking a willing party. And so he mentions this. And afterwards, he mentions the importance of financial justice and uprightness, not stealing from people or oppressing from them. And he also gives a beautiful promise here when he says that if we are able to avoid the great sins, which he mentions like murder and, you know, stealing and things like that, if we're able to avoid those things with sincerity and honesty, then our repentance will be accepted and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the minor sins that we've had in between and he will give us a noble entrance into paradise.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la ta'kulu amwalakum baynakum bil batili illa an takuna tijaratan an taradin minkum wala taqtulu anfusakum inna allaha kana bikum rahima. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا فَسَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِ نَارًا وَكَانَ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبن واسألوا الله من فضله إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما ولكل جعلنا موالي مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون والذين عقدت أيمانكم فآتوهم نصيبهم إن الله كان على كل شيء شهيدا الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا.
The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by highlighting the responsibilities in family that men have to women and the responsibilities that women have to men. These responsibilities are given to us by the divine so that we can build a harmonious family unit. They're not given to us for any sort of reason of oppression or any sort of leverage over one another, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding us to what's best for us so that we can have a happy home life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the reconciliation paths that are provided to restore a relationship when things maybe aren't going as well as they could be. And these reconciliation paths are built into our family dynamic and our domestic affairs, which include things like giving, reminding one another, taking time apart, but do not include things like physical or emotional abuse. The page then proceeds to give us other responsibilities that we have to other people, parents, relatives, neighbors, friends, travelers. There's a long list, those that we're in charge of, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us at the end of that, that he says that he doesn't love those people that are boastful or that have a deluded sense of importance because of themselves, and they forget ultimately the responsibility they have to other people.
وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبَعْثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا خَبِيرًا وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ومن يكن الشيطان له قرينا فساء قرينا وماذا عليهم لو آمنوا بالله واليوم الآخر وأنفقوا مما رزقهم الله وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a example of people who do good deeds on the outer. And I know Hafiz Ahmed, he began to read from that because I think we're reading from two different scripts. But inshallah, if you're on the other script, you can follow along. He gives us the deeds that people do for the outer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, you know, the nonsensical nature of doing things for the pleasure of other people. He says that ultimately when people do things to be seen, then it asks the question about their sincerity. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing up specifically here about giving of wealth, but we can transfer this over to any deed, that it's possible for any person to pray or to fast or to do anything for the sake of somebody else, whether it's being praised or whether it's being considered somebody who is noble or righteous. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the page that was just read by asking a beautiful question, and a question actually that's so powerful that it brought the Prophet ﷺ to tears. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet ﷺ that how will it be when every nation will be brought forth on the Day of Judgment, and that you will have to testify against, you know, your nation. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet ﷺ, and the reason why it brought him to tears, was because he couldn't bear to think about being given all of this virtue and all of this instruction from the divine, from Allah, and a community of people that would go against that. And he couldn't bear the thought of him standing on one side and seeing his believers, you know, Muslims, men and women on the Day of Judgment who had abandoned his way, and that he would have to testify against. That brought him to tears to the point where he was weeping profusely. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guard us from that.
يومئذ يود الذين كفروا وعصوا الرسول لو تسوى بهم الأرض ولا يكتمون الله حديثا يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون ولا جنبا إلا عابري سبيل حتى تغتسلوا وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم إن الله كان عفوا غفورا ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يشترون الضلالة ويريدون أن تضلوا السبيل والله أعلم بأعدائكم وكفى بالله وليا وكفى بالله نصيرا من الذين هادوا يحرفون الكلم عن مواضعه ويقولون سمعنا وعصينا ويقولون سمعنا وعصينا واسمع غير مسمع وراعنا ليا بألسنتهم وطعنا في الدين ولو أنهم قالوا سمعنا وأطعنا واسمع وانظرنا لكان خيرا لهم وأقوم ولكن لعنهم الله بكفرهم فلا يؤمنون إلا قليلا.
So the page that we were reading before, it finished with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us the phase of prohibition of coming to the prayer while intoxicated. And this is something that obviously later was abrogated because alcohol was completely forbidden. But there was a phase of the Islamic tradition of our history where it was impermissible for a person to come to prayer while intoxicated. And that still did not fully, prohibit the drinking of alcohol. But nevertheless, even though we are in a phase of obviously the complete version of legal code in which all the alcohol is prohibited, there still is a deep reminder here about how we come to the prayer, whether we come in a filthy mind with a filthy state of body or a filthy state of heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us from coming to the prayer with any of those. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves to continue telling us about not falling into the delusion of certifying ourselves as pure people, that not giving ourselves this sort of checking ourselves off or entitling ourselves to that sort of status, but rather leaving that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we work hard, we're not entitled, we're not arrogant about ourselves, we worry about improving our faith, but that we trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one that certifies us and gives us that purity. The page then finishes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us a question about those people who had the scripture, but they chose other ideologies over the scripture. They chose themselves or their own beliefs over the scripture, and including some of those who even made a mockery of the scripture by changing words to fit their own desires.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ آمِنُوا بِمَا نَزَّلْنَا مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ من قبل أن نطمس وجوها فنردها على أدبارها أو نلعنهم كما لعنا أصحاب السبت وكان أمر الله مفعولا إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى إثما عظيما ألم تر إلى الذين يزكون أنفسهم بل الله يزكي من يشاء ولا يظلمون فتيلا انظر كيف يفترون على الله الكذب وكفى به إثما مبينا ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يؤمنون بالجبت والطاغوت ويقولون للذين كفروا هؤلاء أهدى من الذين آمنوا سبيلا أولئك الذين لعنهم الله ومن يلعن الله فلن تجد له نصيرا أم لهم نصيب من الملك فإذا لا يؤتون الناس نقيرا أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله فقد آتينا آل إبراهيم الكتاب والحكمة وآتيناهم ملكا عظيما.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses this page amidst many horrible sins that were described so far in this passage, the denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, committing shirk, committing murder. He now introduces the sin of being envious, and he describes this among some of the greatest sins and tells us that it's a horrible disease and how it relates to how it can be related to envying not only another person, but entire communities. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in an authentic narration that envy can destroy, all of a person's good deeds. And that seems like a really, really harsh punishment for something that is somewhat normal in society. But the reason why envy is so particularly dangerous is because when a person disagrees with what somebody else has, they're not disagreeing with that person. In fact, it has nothing to do with the other person, but it only has to do with them disagreeing with how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provisioned his provisions. And so the disease of envy can actually destroy a person's entire spirituality because they end up denying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided. He then mentions the reality of the hellfire being a place of punishment and torment. And he even tells us about those people who historically did believe in Allah. At one point, they had a relationship with God, but because of their own self-delusion, they ended up falling off and putting themselves in the place of hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. He then finishes the passage by reminding us about his forgiveness, his paradise, and that they're waiting for us if we seek him with repentance and faith and good deeds. The last verse of this page leads into a discussion in the next page, which is going to talk about the authority of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our religion and how he is placed in obedience next to only God himself.
فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْهُ وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سندخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا لهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وندخلهم ظلا ظليلا إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَنْ تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ يريدون أن يتحاكموا إلى الطاغوت وقد أمروا أن يكفروا به ويريد الشيطان أن يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now continues in the next passage by talking about some of the signs of hypocrites. Now, when we think of hypocrites in the English language, we think of those that say what they don't do or they do what they say not to do. But the word hypocrite from the Islamic tradition, it means somebody that on the outside has the appearance of a believer, but on the inside, they can intentionally not have belief or they disbelieve. And there are signs of hypocrisy that can even belong to people who do seek to be believers. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. So when we see these signs in the Quran of hypocrisy, they are things that should resonate with us. No one should read these signs ideally and feel safe. We should all think to ourselves, like, do I have things like this? So one of the signs that he mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, is that when it is said to them to come to what Allah has revealed to the messenger, then the hypocrites turn away. So whenever somebody is reminded to go back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go back to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they turn away. Now this could be obviously a physical turning away, but there could also be an internal turning away as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says that when disaster strikes a person, whether they are, you know, good or bad, everybody runs back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody runs back to their faith. And so the hypocrite ideally, you know, is a person that when they are being told to come to God, they ignore. But when times get rough, they run straight back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those people who are with him at all times, not just in bad, but also in good.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنكَ صُدُودًا فَكَيْفَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ جَاءُوكَ يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا إِحْسَانًا وَتَوْفِيقًا أولئك الذين يعلم الله ما في قلوبهم فأعرض عنهم وعظهم وقل لهم في أنفسهم قولا بليغا وما أرسلنا من رسول إلا ليطاع بإذن الله ولو أنهم إذ ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما ولو أنا كتبنا عليهم أن اقتلوا أنفسكم أو اخرجوا من دياركم ما فعلوه إلا قليل منهم ولو أنهم فعلوا ما يوعظون به لكان خيرا لهم وأشد تثبيتا وإذا لآتيناهم من لدنا أجرا عظيما وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now shifts the conversation even further to talking about obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And this is something that is preserved and mentioned in the Quran time and time again, obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger, which firmly establishes the idea that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in and of himself is an authority, and that authority was given to him by the one with all authority, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if a person is able to obey Allah and His Messenger, to do their best to do so, that they will be in the status and in the ranking of righteous and noble people like the prophets, those people who confirmed their faith, those people who died in battle or martyrs, and those people who are righteous in general. And this is a status that a person will have simply by giving their ihsan to obeying Allah and His Messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues in the page to mention specifically the idea of when defending and fighting for the sake of a person's faith was introduced to the believers and how some of them accepted it wholeheartedly and some of them who were weakened in their faith or struggled with their faith, they turned away from this notion or this code that was given by God. And instead of accepting it, instead of accepting this aspect of faith, they tried to manipulate it or put conditions on it. And this is given to us as an idea or as an example of how when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down something in revelation, it's not something that's to be negotiated. It's not something that for us is to say, well, if only this could come later or if only this could be changed in this way. But it's rather for us to do everything that we can and to concede on the points when we feel like we're weak enough or we're too weak not to do something.
وَمَنْ يُطَعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ فَانْفِرُوا ثُبَاتٍ أَوْ انْفِرُوا جَمِيعًا وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَنْ لَيُبَطِّئَنَّ فَإِنْ أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالَ قَدْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ إِذْ لَمْ أَكُنْ مَعَهُمْ شَهِيدًا وَلَئِنْ أَصَابَكُمْ فَضْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَيَقُولَنَّ كَأَنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ مَوَدَّةٌ يا ليتني كنت معهم فأفوز فوزا عظيما فليقاتل في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل أو يغلب فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا.
The next page talks about those people who pledge allegiance to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and they pledge allegiance to this faith, but when they are away from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's presence or away from the community, the believers, they turn away and they try to plan other things for themselves or they try to turn away from the straight path. And this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is a direct result of their inability to reflect upon the Quran. That if these people simply listen to the actual message of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down to him, that they wouldn't have this duality in their faith. And this would be something that they would then, as a result of when they studied, listened, and reflected on the Quran, their faith would grow to a point where they would have an immense reverence and they would refer everything back in their life, ultimately to Allah and to His Messenger.
الذين آمنوا يقاتلون في سبيل الله والذين كفروا يقاتلون في سبيل الطاغوت فقاتلوا أولياء الشيطان إن كيد الشيطان كان ضعيفا ألم تر إلى الذين قيل لهم كفوا أيديكم وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فلما كتب عليهم القتال إذا فريق منهم يخشون الناس كخشية الله أو أشد خشية وقالوا ربنا لما كتبت علينا القتال لولا أخرتنا إلى أجل قريب قل متاع الدنيا قليل والآخرة خير لمن اتقى ولا تظلمون فتيلا أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة وإن تصبهم حسنة يقولوا هذه من عند الله وإن تصبهم سيئة يقولوا هذه من عندك قل كل من عند الله فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله وما أصابك من سيئة فمن نفسك وأرسلناك للناس رسولا وكفى بالله شهيدا من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله ومن تولى فما أرسلناك عليهم حفيظا.
The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to discuss the idea of public welfare. And he talks about this idea of taking care of things in a society and how concerned people should have about public security or public fear, and whether or not people should be ultimately so invested into the public welfare that they forget that they have to worry about themselves individually as people. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions the idea that we all have a role and a responsibility to play in taking care of the things that are happening in the world around us. But ultimately, he says that we are responsible only for ourselves. That at the end of the day, you can't control the faith in the hearts of other people. You can't control the actions of other people. You can't control what other people do or do not do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us, and he says that you should do whatever you can to be part of good causes, and you will get rewarded from those good causes. But if you try to do anything that is from an evil cause, then you will also get the burden from that and the punishment from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes by reminding us that ultimately, even though we are living on this earth as a body of humanity or communities, that we are all going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be questioned and asked about Him alone. And this reality of this day, the Day of Judgment, should make us all be concerned about our individual self as well as our communal self.
ويقولون طاعة فإذا برزوا من عندك بيت طائفة منهم غير الذي تقول والله يكتب ما يبيتون فأعرض عنهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا أفلا يتدبرون القرآن ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته لاتبعتم الشيطان إلا قليلا فقاتل في سبيل الله لا تكلف إلا نفسك وحرض المؤمنين عسى الله أن يكف بأس الذين كفروا والله أشد بأسا وأشد تنكيلا من يشفع شفاعة حسنة يكن له نصيب منها ومن يشفع شفاعة سيئة يكن له كفل منها وكان الله على كل شيء مقيتا وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. الله لا إله إلا هو ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه ومن أصدق من الله حديثا.
The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by mentioning that the munafiqeen, those people who are hypocrites, in their heart, they want nothing more than for people to join them in their hypocrisy, that they have this strong desire to be, you know, misery loves company is the statement that comes to mind, to be joined by other people, almost as a way of confirming their bad choices. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns against. Further on in the page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes into a long detailed description of the unfortunate realities of war. And he mentions a lot of the codes and conduct regarding what is permissible and what is impermissible in the battlefield. And this is a reminder to us ultimately that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses something in great length and great detail, it's a really sensitive matter. And it's not just for somebody to say something simple as this is permissible or impermissible, but there are oftentimes many different nuances and many different structures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. So when we talk about, for example, the topic of killing or of taking someone's life, it's not as simple as saying that this is okay or not okay, but that God Almighty has given us great detail into how to understand these things. And after mentioning the different conditions about when war is okay and when fighting is okay and when killing is okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes by mentioning that his forgiveness and mercy is always available to all people. Those people that have committed murder, those people that have killed with intention, or those people that have mistakenly killed, everybody is entitled to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness if they seek it.
فَمَا لَكُمْ فِي الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِيَتَيْنِ وَاللَّهُ أَرْكَسَهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَهْدُوا مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ حَتَّى يُهَاجِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ أَوْ جَاءُوكُمْ حَصِرَتْ صُدُورُهُمْ أَنْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ أَوْ يُقَاتِلُوا قَوْمَهُمْ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَسَلَّطَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَلَقَاتَلُوكُمْ فَإِنِ اعْتَزَلُوكُمْ فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا. سَتَجِدُونَ آخَرِينَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَأْمَنُوكُمْ وَيَأْمَنُوا قَوْمَهُمْ كُلَّمَا رُدُّوا إِلَى الْفِتْنَةِ أُرْكِسُوا فِيهَا فَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْتَزِلُوكُمْ وَيُلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ وَيَكُفُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ وَأُولَئِكُمْ جَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces the idea of how a person can be so fixated on gaining some sort of material wealth or something, you know, to benefit themselves in this life, that they could turn into oppressing people and violating the rights of people in order to obtain those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he teaches us here that whenever a person assumes something about the spiritual state of somebody, and he mentions specifically, you know, taking the life of somebody who greets you with the greeting of salam, of the Muslim greeting, and that a person in the battlefield might actually kill them even though they greeted them with salam, he says that this is an oppression that was committed and should not have been done just because a person assumes something, that we should take whatever people give us and we should operate based on that assumption and not assume anything about their spiritual states, especially not for material gain.
وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَأً وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأً فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ وَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ إِلَّا أَن يَصَدَّقُوا فَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمٍ عَدُوٍّ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ وإن كان من قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق فدية مسلمة إلى أهله وتحرير رقبة مؤمنة فمن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين توبة من الله وكان الله عليما حكيما ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه ولعنه وأعد له عذابا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ضربتم في سبيل الله فتبينوا ولا تقولوا لمن ألقى إليكم السلام لست مؤمنا تبتغون عرض الحياة الدنيا فعند الله مغانم كثيرة كذلك كنتم من قبل فمن الله عليكم فتبينوا إن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم فضل الله المجاهدين بأموالهم وأنفسهم على القاعدين درجة وكلا وعد الله الحسنى وفضل الله المجاهدين على القاعدين أجرا عظيما.
The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by speaking about the reality of a person's responsibility when it comes to what they will be atoned for, what they'll be held to account for with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The image is given of the angel taking a person, and this person is living a lifestyle that is wronging themselves. And the angels will ask this person that, you know, why were you doing this? And the person will try to give an excuse and say that, you know, I lived in a place or I had an environment where I had no choice. And the angel then will respond to this person and say, didn't you have enough space on the earth to go and to find an environment or a place where you could have worshipped Allah or lived a life of virtue? And this image is so powerful because it's really telling us that ultimately there is no excuse for us not to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. There's no excuse. There's no job that a person has. There's no lifestyle a person has or environment a person's in that they can claim that they truly had no way, that it was so vacuum sealed that they had no way to have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is reminding us that the angels are going to have that conversation with us here, even to the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the idea that a person may have to make major changes in their life in order to accomplish this ability to have a relationship with Allah. The idea of migrating, of moving from one place to another, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. And it seems like a great deal to do, but when you think about what a person is giving up for the sake of not having a relationship with Allah, what they're giving up, moving is no great deal when a person gains Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the page by introducing the idea that prayers can be shortened if a person is traveling. And this is also going to lead us to the next conversation, but I wanted to begin this conversation by mentioning, think about how beautiful it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this, you know, pillar of our faith, prayer, that it can never be removed from our practice whatsoever, no matter what the circumstances.
دَرَجَاتٍ مِّنْهُ وَمَغْفِرَةً وَرَحْمَةً وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يهتدون سبيلا فأولئك عسى الله أن يعفو عنهم وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتُ ثم يدرك الموت فقد وقع أجره على الله وكان الله غفورا رحيما وإذا ضربتم في الأرض فليس عليكم جناح أن تقصروا من الصلاة إن خفتم أن يفتنكم الذين كفروا إن الكافرين كانوا لكم عدوا مبينا.
The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes an interesting kind of prayer that is done specifically in the battlefield. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the methodology for how a congregation in the battlefield should be praying. And ultimately, without going into too much description, it's basically a sequenced prayer where there are staggered movements based on the lines so that the congregation is not endangered. And this is an interesting idea because, again, just like we mentioned at the previous ending of the last page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now has told us that traveling is not an excuse to miss prayer, and not even being in war is an excuse to miss prayer. And then Allah ta'ala continues and tells us that really in life, there are two kinds of modes that a person can be in. One is in prayer and one is not in prayer. And he says that we should be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in both states, whether we're praying or whether we're not praying. The believer's heart should always be remembering Allah in some way, shape, or form. So we should not see prayer as a burden. In fact, the hypocrites that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned earlier in the surah, one of the signs of hypocrisy that he mentioned earlier was when they were called to Allah and his messenger, they felt their hearts aversive to it. And so one of the greatest ways in which we can discover whether or not we have this unfortunate weakness in our faith is how we respond to the prayer, whether or not we hear the adhan and how we come back to it, or we run to it, feel excited, or we feel burdened or bothered by it. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the sweetness of salah.
وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ وَلْتَأْتِ طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَهُمْ وَأَسْلِحَتَهُمْ وَدَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ تَغْفُلُونَ عَنْ أَسْلِحَتِكُمْ وَأَمْتِعَتِكُمْ فَيَمِيلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَيْلَةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنْ كَانَ بِكُمْ أَذًى مِّن مَّطَرٍ أَوْ كُنتُم مَّرْضَىٰ أَن تَضَعُوا أَسْلِحَتَكُمْ وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُّهِينًا فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَّوْقُوتًا وَلَا تَهِنُوا فِي ابْتِغَاءِ الْقَوْمِ إِن تَكُونُوا تَأْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ وترجون من الله ما لا يرجون وكان الله عليما حكيما.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this final page now by reminding us that ultimately our success as believers is having the ability to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness. That's the key principle in a person's relationship with Allah, is how comfortable are they when they do make mistakes, when they do slip up, in turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he reminds us again, just like he did in the beginning of the juz, that seeking forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala is not like pulling teeth. It's not like trying to convince somebody who's unwilling. But Allah Ta'ala says that he is the most forgiving and the most merciful. So imagine asking somebody for something from somebody and they want to give it to you. That's the spirit that Allah Ta'ala is telling us to ask for forgiveness in. And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala continues and tells us that there are all kinds of people in this world. There are those people who conceal their true intentions from you, and those who actually do have the purity of faith. And it is the Prophet ﷺ's job not to lose his purpose and his mission over those people who are hiding ultimately their true intentions from him, but rather to let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with them. Allah ta'ala then reminds those people and us that whoever does something wrong, they're only doing it to themselves. Whoever commits any sin, they're not doing it to anybody else. No one else is going to answer for their sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is not harmed by that sin, but rather that sin is going to be accounted for by ourselves. So that person, Allah ta'ala is reminding them that they're going to have to ultimately take account for this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the entire juz by saying that if a person has the audacity to then take whatever sin they've done and place that blame onto another person, then that compounds their sin, and they are then blamed not only for committing the sin, but also for engaging in what we know now as slander or backbiting.
إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَكُنْ لِلْخَائِنِينَ خَصِيمًا وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا وَلَا تُجَادِلْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ يَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ خَوَّانًا أَثِيمًا يستخفون من الناس ولا يستخفون من الله وهو معهم إذ يبيتون ما لا يرضى من القول وكان الله بما يعملون محيطا ها أنتم هؤلاء جادلتم عنهم في الحياة الدنيا فمن يجادل الله عنهم يوم القيامة أم من يكون عليهم وكيلا ومن يعمل سوءا أو يظلم نفسه ثم يستغفر الله يجد الله غفورا رحيما ومن يكسب إثما فإنما يكسبه على نفسه وكان الله عليما حكيما ومن يكسب خطيئة أو إثما ثم يرمي به بريئا فقد احتمل بهتانا وإثما مبينا ولولا فضل الله عليك ورحمته لهمت طائفة منهم أن يضلوك وما يضلون إلا أنفسهم وما يضرونك من شيء وأنزل الله عليك الكتاب والحكمة وعلمك ما لم تكن تعلم وكان فضل الله عليك عظيما.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next page gives us the idea of somebody who agreed to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a short time, but then they opposed him after guidance had become clear to them. And this is an interesting concept in the Quran, because a lot of times when we read the Quran, we think to ourselves that we read these stories of people who rejected messengers, and the default is to place them in the box of people who disbelieved from the get-go. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces people who at once accepted messengers and then turned away, it makes us question sometimes our security and our own faith. And this is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. We ask Allah ta'ala to make our hearts firm on this religion, because truth be told, we don't know if this religion is guaranteed to exist, this faith is guaranteed to exist in our hearts. We only hope that that's the case for our reality.
لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس ومن يفعل ذلك ابتغاء مرضات الله فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء ومن يشرك بالله فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا إن يدعون من دونه إلا إناثا وإن يدعون إلا شيطانا مريدا لعنه الله وقال لأتخذن من عبادك نصيبا مفروضا ولأضلنهم ولأمنينهم ولآمرنهم فليبتكن آذان الأنعام ولآمرنهم فليغيرن خلق الله ومن يتخذ الشيطان وليا من دون الله فقد خسر خسرانا مبينا يعدهم ويمنيهم وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا أولئك مأواهم جهنم
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the last page and begins the next page by juxtaposing how shaitan is going to approach the believers in order to get them to fall away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't say, Shaitan doesn't say that he's going to get a person to outright reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, but rather that he's going to arouse the desires within a person, that that person is going to have not outright rejection of God, but they're going to have desires, small desires maybe, that add up to give this person the courage eventually to just completely disengage from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether. And Allah ta'ala mentions that those people will be in the hellfire. Right after God mentions that those people will be in the hellfire, the ones who fell victim to their desires, he mentions a group of people that will be in Jannah. And this is, by the way, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever Allah ta'ala mentions one destiny or one destination of a group of people, he will mention the other one to balance out the conversation. So when he mentions punishment, Allah ta'ala will always mention forgiveness and reward. And he begins the next page by mentioning those who believe and do good deeds, that Allah ta'ala says that he will admit them into the garden with which rivers flow underneath gardens, and they will live there forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to convince us and to remind us that this is a reality, he says that this is a promise of God. And who is more truthful than Allah? That when any one of us makes a promise, we're promising maybe based off of our intent or our ability or capacity, but ultimately we don't control every variable. Allah ta'ala is saying that he's promising this, and who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the next verse, he mentions that paradise is not simply gained by people hoping for it or by people wanting it, but rather it has to be earned by person's actions, and a person can't do wrong, and they have to only seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that it doesn't matter whether that person is a male or a female, as long as they are a believer and they try their best to do righteous deeds, even small ones, but they're consistent in it, that they will be able to get paradise and they will never, ever be oppressed by God, even the smallest amount in existence.
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقًّا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ وَلَا يَجِدْ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا وَيَسْتَفْتُونَكَ فِي النِّسَاءِ قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِيهِنَّ وَمَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ فِي يَتَامَى النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِي لَا تُؤْتُونَهُنَّ مَا كُتِبَ لَهُنَّ وترغبون أن تنكحوهن والمستضعفين من الولدان وأن تقوموا لليتامى بالقسط وما تفعلوا من خير فإن الله كان به عليما.
The next page has two major themes. The first, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala details again some more of the details from the family structure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and tells us that ultimately the greatest way for a person to make sure that they honor their family, no matter what their family structure looks like, is if they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. That taqwa ultimately is going to be the guiding compass that makes sure that people treat their family correctly. And he says that if a person fears that if they can't treat people correctly in their relationship, in their family, in their marriage, then they should not take on any sort of responsibility that they cannot handle. And even if a person goes through the difficulty of something as serious as a divorce, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises those people that he will be the one that will take care of them and give them provision in abundance. And this is ultimately a great example for everybody, that whenever times are tough, whenever things are difficult, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that he will take care of the people who are involved, and they should not worry beyond their own capacity. Then Allah ta'ala switches to the second theme, which is his control over the heavens and the earth. Allah ta'ala emphasizes this many times in the Quran in order to illustrate to us his complete and total control, and re-emphasizing to us why we seek from him and make dua to him, and we don't seek ultimately from anyone else.
وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا والصلح خير وأحضرت الأنفس الشح وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا ولن تستطيعوا أن تعدلوا بين النساء ولو حرصتم فلا تميلوا كل الميل فتذروها كالمعلقة وإن تصلحوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان غفورا رحيما وإن يتفرقا يغن الله كلا من سعته وكان الله واسعا حكيما ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله وإن تكفروا فإن لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكان الله غنيا حميدا ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكفى بالله وكيلا إن يشأ يذهبكم أيها الناس ويأتي بآخرين وكان الله على ذلك قديرا من كان يريد ثواب الدنيا فعند الله ثواب الدنيا والآخرة وكان الله سميعا بصيرا.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives perhaps the strongest exhortation towards justice in the Quran. It's the one that's always mentioned when we talk about what it means to establish justice. Allah ta'ala emphatically tells believers that we have to be people of justice. We have to be people of justice because that serves as a witness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It serves as a witness for people to recognize God even. And even if a person has to be witnessing against themselves or their close family or their relatives, that is not an ulterior motive to subvert justice. We have to be people who hold it up high all the time. Whether a person is wealthy or poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more worthy than both people of our justice and upholding of it. So we shouldn't follow any personal inclinations. When something is right, it is right. When something is wrong, it is wrong. And we don't ever dilute or water down, because ultimately Allah ta'ala reminds us that he is acquainted with everything that we do.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر واليوم الآخر فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا إن الذين آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم ازدادوا كفرا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم ولا ليهديهم سبيلا بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما الذين يتخذون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين أيبتغون عندهم العزة فإن العزة لله جميعا وقد نزل عليكم في الكتاب أن إذا سمعتم آيات الله يكفر بها ويستهزأ بها فلا تقعدوا معهم حتى يخوضوا في حديث غيره إنكم إذا مثلهم إن الله جامع المنافقين والكافرين في جهنم جميعا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the last page and continues on to the next page, which is the final page, mentioning the despicable reality of the hypocrites. And he ultimately advises the believers in the next page and says that these people are so despicable that they will try to take advantage of any situation, whether it's for you or against you. If you have a victorious moment, then they're going to say, we were with you the whole way. But if they were, if you lose, then they're going to go to the other party and they're going to say, well, we weren't necessarily with you, but we didn't harm you. Ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that hypocrites are people who try to deceive Allah. They're never the same person in any situation. They try to deceive Allah, and really they don't realize that Allah ta'ala is actually allowing them to deceive themselves. One of the signs of the hypocrites and their deception of Allah, and again, this is very interesting, is that when they stand for prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as they stand kusala. They stand lazily, like they aren't engaged in the prayer at all. It's something that's completely and totally just a, you know, they're just going through the motions of it. And so again, we feel the sense of security when Allah ta'ala describes the despicable nature of hypocrites. And then Allah ta'ala throws in a description and we think to ourselves, man, that sounds familiar, subhanAllah. So may Allah ta'ala protect us from that. And then Allah ta'ala says that eventually, after being lazy in their worship for long enough, their ultimate unfortunate reality is that they waver back and forth. They never really commit to belief fully, but they're not quite disbelievers. They would never identify as disbelievers, but they still never commit to belief fully. And so they end up, unfortunately, leading themselves astray. Allah Ta'ala then advises the believers and tells us never ever to assign ourselves the protection of people who have made it clear that they do not want the Muslims to succeed, and that rather we need to be keeping out for ourselves and taking care of ourselves and not signing on to or, you know, sabotaging our own protection by looking at pie in the sky type relationships. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us.
الَّذِينَ يَتَرَبَّصُونَ بِكُمْ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فَتْحٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نَصِيبٌ قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَسْتَحْوِذْ عَلَيْكُمْ وَنَمْنَعَكُمْ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا إن المنافقين يخادعون الله وهو خادعهم وإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراءون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا مذبذبين بين ذلك لا إلى هؤلاء ولا إلى هؤلاء ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين أتريدون أن تجعلوا لله عليكم سلطانا مبينا إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار ولن تجد لهم نصيرا إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا بالله وأخلصوا دينهم لله فأولئك مع المؤمنين وسوف يؤتي الله المؤمنين أجرا عظيما ما يفعل الله بعذابكم إن شكرتم وآمنتم وكان الله شاكرا عليما
جزاكم الله خيرا حافظ أحمد. I really appreciate it. May Allah Ta'ala reward you for your recitation. And I wanted to conclude, I know we're a few minutes over time. I wanted to conclude with ayah number 146 as everyone's takeaway from this juz. And that is that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions many different kinds of dynamics in this juz. He mentions believers and hypocrites and disbelievers. He mentions people who are pious and people who struggle. He mentions people who pray with concentration and people who pray lazily. But at the end of the juz, Allah Ta'ala mentions that there are those people who, when they make a mistake, الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلِحُوا, that these people, وَأَصْلَحُوا, these people, they repent to Allah Ta'ala, they try to make their ways right, and they hold on with for dear life to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala with sincerity for their religion for Allah. That is the recipe for success. If a person has stumbled their entire life, remember, he's talking to hypocrites too. If a person has stumbled their entire life, Allah Ta'ala never closes the door on anybody. There's always a way out. And 146, ayah number 146 in Surah An-Nisa is the way out. If a person wants to come close to Allah, repent, try to build yourself back up, and hold on tight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be sincere in your religion, and you will be considered amongst the believers, and Allah ta'ala will give you a great reward. We ask Allah ta'ala to bless everybody who has paid attention tonight and read along with us. We hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us the people of Quran. Jazakumullah khairan, Hafiz Ahmed, for your contribution. May Allah ta'ala, you know, allow you to recite beautifully, you know, for the rest of your life, inshallah, make you from the people of Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Qalam Institute, and sincerely asking everybody, inshallah, to whatever you can, support Qalam.com and allow us to keep serving you and allow us to keep producing beautiful students like Hafiz Ahmed, who can keep serving the community for as long as we live. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Have a great rest of the month, inshallah, and I'll see you guys the next time that I'm on here. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.